Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first episode of The Adventures, starring yours truly, Joe Comia. And today, we'll be talking about one of the best plays out there. It's called The Streetcar Named Desire. It was written by Tennessee Williams. And we're going to specifically talk about Stanley, one of the most dominant characters, or one of the main characters in the play. But before we jump right into it, I wanted to introduce my friend, my special guest for this special episode of this podcast, Mr. Mark Anthony Rico.
Hey guys, how's it going? Nice. Thanks for having me on here, Jello.
Of course, it's a pleasure. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
All right, so you know what? Let's dig into this.
All right, let's jump right into it.
I mean, this novel is such a good novel. Like, I have no words to it.
Yeah, I mean,
but there's this one character I obviously really want to talk about, Stanley Kowalski.
What can I say? I mean, Stanley is a man of many personalities.
Exactly.
I mean,
let's talk about his traits, his attitude, you know, how what he's like in the play. I'd say he's sexual. Especially towards the relationship between him and his wife.
Yeah,
I mean, it's seen on the very first scene on page 2 that he heaves the package at her. She cries out in protest but manages to catch it. I mean, I didn't get that. I didn't get what that, like, the meaning behind it until it was discussed, you know, and I realized it's something sexual.
Yeah, he's very sexual. I mean, even later in the story, I mean, just around his friends,
as we've seen on the film. But I wanted to focus more on the book, you know.
Yeah.
It's just because I think the book is more detailed. I mean, there's the book and there's the film, and there's like a little bit of twist, in the film comparing what's actually original written on the paper. But secondly, I'd say he's very greedy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's greedy in terms of what his personal ambitions. I mean, specifically on the second scene, the luggage scene, if you remember, when Blanche came out of the bathroom. I mean, he went through her luggage looking for papers about Belle Reve, and then when she comes out, she was talking about this Napoleonic code that if a wife get something, then the husband must get something as well. And I think this is for personal. And he uses...
Yeah, he was looking for money. In a
basically,
way.
And he's using his kid, their future kid, as an excuse. So I need it for my kid's future. You know, this and that's for family.
Yeah, just something in order to get what he kind of wanted.
Yeah, and I would also say he's very aggressive towards people. You know, specifically his wife and Blanche. You know, it's just a prime example is on page 131. That was scene 8. You know, it's a good try, but scene 8, page 131, it was Blanche's birthday. It didn't go as we thought it was.
He
lost his mind, you know, especially when Stella asked him to clean up because he was looking greasy and dirty. He just smashed his plate.
Yeah, he just smashed everything.
What kind of man smashes his plate in front of... Especially on someone else's birthday.
Yeah, just in tell general, me about, I mean, you spend money on crazy. Those plates and then you just go and smashing it. Just very aggressive.
Which ties up to also this other trait of being sensitive, right? Because if you... When he's sensitive, takes it the wrong way, he becomes aggressive. That's the connection between the two. Which is also... I'd say it's also seen on the same... It's on the same scene. Scene 8. It was called Pig, Polak, Disgusting, Vulgar, and Greasy.
Yeah, and all those times, I mean, after we see that, he got very aggressive after that.
Right.
I mean, he would kind of have, like, a rage.
Right. He lost it. He completely lost it, which led him to being aggressive.
I mean, this also ties in to the relationships. I mean, like, what are some of the relationships that he has with these characters?
Definitely. I mean, he's married to Stella, obviously. He's Mitch's friend, and then Blanche's, and he's also Blanche's brother-in-law. But you know what? Let's talk about his relationship with Stella. Their marriage. Yeah, more they're very, time. They're very close. Yeah. You've seen it first scene. He even told the story how they had a good relationship. This was in scene 8, when he said that they had a good relationship till Blanche came. We definitely seen the male dominance in their relationship. Yeah, Stanley's sure. very dominant. And I would say they're, I don't know if you would say this or anyone else, but they're damn obsessed with each other, man. Oh, they're yeah. so obsessed sure. with each other.
I mean, in the play, we were able to see.
Especially in the poker scene. Right, yes, as I right.
said earlier, I mean.
You're right.
He got a very aggressive.
Right.
Beat her.
And then Stella left.
Yeah,
she Stanley, left. Right Stanley upstairs. Went out there looking for her. Stella, you know, calling yeah, her name.
Screaming it.
Yeah, and then she comes down, comes back to him like nothing happened.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Like, that's just the relationship they had.
I mean, if we ever to connect this in real life, I don't think it's normal for it's not yeah, I wouldn't say it's a healthy state. Relationship, you know, because I would never as a guy, I would never think that I should have the right to suspend any woman, whether it's your wife, your mom, your sister, anyone else. But let's move on. He's also Mitch's friend. They're a really close friend.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to see that they work together.
Right. I would say it's like a cat and dog relationship. There's other cats and dogs. They're close, and most likely they'll fight, and that's exactly what they did. They work together. They hang out together. They play poker together.
Yeah.
Specifically, and they just turn enemies. Especially when they talk about Blanche. Stanley doesn't like Blanche. Mitch is so obsessed with Blanche, and that just clashes.
Yeah, they
kind of it's a clash heads. Between them two. Yeah, right. Which, move on to the next one. He's Blanche's brother-in-law, which is...
I mean, we're able to see that's just a very bad relationship.
By far worst relationships I've ever seen. I mean, Stanley and Blanche were never close. Never even had the attempt to be close. Nothing like that. And then at the beginning of the scene 2, and near the end, Blanche was somewhat of flirty towards Stanley.
Yeah, and we were able to feel that sexual tension.
Which led, obviously, way later on to the rape scene on scene 10 when Stanley was like, come, like, what did he say specifically? He was like, you know, there's something that's going on between the two of us since the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
And Blanche definitely insults Stanley. That's one of the biggest reasons why he gets so aggressive, you know, by calling him a Polak. I mean, I think he finds that as a racial slur, since he's Polish, but he's born in America, and I don't think he'll never take it as a joke.
Yeah.
It's very not too close. Yeah, this leads to the conflict too.
Yeah.
Especially the conflicts between. Or the not between, but
that he faces,
exactly. I would say the very first conflict is Blanche is moving in.
Yeah, I mean, we could
tell he felt story. Uneasy when Blanche was around the house, and this was seen in this was kind of admitted in scene 8, you know, page 137. He was like, and he was talking to Stella, they were like, we weren't happy till she came.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Kind of seemed like she kind of ruined the flow of things in the household.
Yeah, right. And he wanted her to leave. And on the same scene, Stanley gave Blanche a gift, a birthday gift, which something Blanche didn't expect. And when she opened the envelope, it was a ticket back to Laurel.
Yes, because he really wanted her out of the house.
I mean, that's so crazy. I mean, he finds information about Blanche and trying to send her back to where she came from. And we all know that Laurel wasn't a good place for her. It was definitely not a good place. I mean, everything that went to scene 8, I mean, that went... He was basically short-tempered. I'd say it's another one.
Very short-tempered.
Very short-tempered. I mean, this draws back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, the Polak.
He gets really mad. Really mad. He doesn't want to be called the Polak. We've seen it on the second scene, the luggage scene, when he finds out that Blanche was basically left Belle Reve and lost Belle Reve. He thought it was sold, so he couldn't wait and just started going through his stuff, you know, through her stuff and looking for papers, evidence that Belle Reve wasn't lost and it was sold.
Yeah, and then we were able to see that when he didn't find what he wanted.
Yeah, he got very angry towards Belle.
He started taking everything out, throwing all the older papers that was from Belle Reve.
And also the letters from Lash's old significant other.
Yeah.
Who passed away.
Yeah, Alan.
Right.
As we know.
And also scene 7. The birthday scene.
Yeah, that ties in perfectly.
It was very perfect, short-tempered. He's just, his own wife. I mean, take this in. If your own wife asks you to clean up because you're looking dirty, what would you do?
Personally, I would just listen.
I mean, it's for your own good, too. It's, yeah. It's manners, right? He took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
The very wrong way. And, you know, lost his crap, break the plates.
I mean, this could also lead and tie in to some of the themes that are in the play.
Some good themes, exactly.
Just everything we've talked about.
I mean, I have two listed down on my themes. I mean, the first one is very obvious one, which is revelation. It's just Stanley revealing all of Blanche's dark secrets, as we all know. This is found in scene 7, when he was telling how Blanche used to stay at the hotel called, or a motel called Flamingo.
Yeah.
Bringing in
truckloads of young guys.
Especially at a young age.
Oh, yeah.
She was an old teacher. Right, exactly.
And, she had that.
That's basically
what, with the younger boy.
Which led to her getting kicked out of the school as being a teacher. Which, you know, she got kicked out basically moving with Stella.
Yeah. Right. Which she never ended up telling them.
Yeah. Stella never found out about unless Stanley told her.
Yeah.
Found out everything. That's basically my first theme. Second theme is definitely sex and death.
Oh, yeah.
Sex in terms of him, his sexual desires towards Stella, and also Blanche, which was the rape scene.
Yeah,
as we know.
It just stands out quite a bit. It's kind of what he thrives for
throughout
the play.
For death, I'm not so sure, but I guess death is more of on Stanley's part. He kind of killed Blanche in terms of mental. Right, in a mental way. And
yeah, he kind of killed her in a
he
way.
Killed her in, like, mentally. We've seen
many
this.
Different ways.
Yeah, that right after that rape scene, Blanche was just totally a different
totally
person.
Totally different.
So now we talk about the themes of the novel and how it ties to Stanley. Let's just tell the young viewer especially what an archetype is, because there's a definitely an archetypal character that represents Stanley. So tell us what an archetype is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it stems from the Greek word arch, meaning primitive, and tupas, meaning model.
From the model.
So primitive model, yes. I mean, it's a certain model or pattern from which all copies are made.
Mm. So what I personally believe, I had two archetypal characters. One is what we talked about earlier is villain. He wants things to go his way by manipulating people, taking advantage of others and their weaknesses. And we've seen this on scene 2. There's this one line on how Stella was telling Stanley to be nice to Blanche, and then she goes, and then Stanley goes, "Since when did you give me orders?" I mean,
yeah, that's not
that's just very. This shows straight, yeah.
The dominance, especially
for being,
but
male.
Also shows, like you said, the villain and the bullying aspect of it.
It's also ties up to scene 7, you know, when he was looking evidence against Blanche or revealing evidence,
all the secrets
against Blanche, you know, that being villains for sure. But this one, you know, I'm not too sure. So there's this one that says, "And being enchantress and temptress," but since he's a guy, I say he's a tantalizer and an enchanter. Tantalizer meaning, I said he basically uses sexuality. Pretty much a lot, we've seen that throughout
to get what he wants,
to get to know Blanche, also, which was on scene 2. He uses sexuality to lure back Stella, which was on the poker scene on scene 3. near the ending. And so that kind of connects into the real world. And now we're going to talk about Stanley Kowalski and his connection in the real world.
Yeah,
right, I mean, now in this year.
There's quite a few people who he could
connect to. The very first one we talked about was Donald Trump. That was so obvious.
Yeah, right? Very, very.
Like what we said, they're similar in a way that they're both dominant. One is male dominance, one is male dominance / being the president of a country, biggest, most powerful country in the world. They're both abusive physically and emotionally, maybe mentally, or definitely mentally, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely.
And they both take advantage of the weak.
Yeah, I mean,
the fact that Trump was taking advantage of
the new immigrants.
The immigrants, especially.
Coming to his country.
Rejects them. And then Stanley taking advantage of Blanche, who definitely, as viewers or readers of the play, that she's not mentally stable,
yeah,
in a way.
We were also able to see that. He took advantage of Mitch.
Right.
To turn
basically his back against
Blanche.
Right.
Yeah.
So for scenes, I mean, there's some examples, being abusive. Scene 3, obviously, the poker scene, him hitting Stella. There's also scene 2, being aggressive, going through Blanche's luggage. And there's scene 7, you know, him displaying all the secrets, all her past, and showing dominance, too, by, you know, the way he cleans his plate on the birthday scene, which is also scene 7. It's just crazy, man.
Yeah, there's just multiple ways that Stanley is basically almost identical.
Almost.
To
Not
Donald
quite.
Trump. Not quite, right. But very similar.
And my other connection, I'd say, is sexism / stereotype.
Yeah,
it's
something that's
so
massive
obvious.
In the world today.
So in the play, he believes that he's the man, the king of the house.
Yeah, he should be.
Just because he's a male.
Yeah.
He has a job. You know, provide the food on the table for Stella, Blanche, their future kid, or whatsoever. And we've seen it on scene 2, you know, when he asked Stella, when did you give me orders, that specific line. Or on scene 8, when he specifically said that every man is a king. And he said he is the king, specifically. And I think it's just beyond... It's just definitely brutal when it comes to being sexist or the stereotypes. And personally, all being sexism and stereotypes should come to an end.
Yeah, I mean, from this play, we're just able to see that Stanley is just a completely different person than other people.
I mean, it's 2018. The sexism stereotype BS should come to an end and just accept the fact that everyone's the same.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. I mean, overall, this play is just one of the best. But the fact that it was made late 40s, early 50s, and it still has, I'd say, quite a lot of connections to 2018, it's a big issue that that we should fix, not just on ourselves, but as a person, as a whole, as a community.
Yeah, and Tennessee Williams did a very good job on executing the story.
It's a job well done for Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going to go down as one of the best playwriters that's out there besides Shakespeare and all that. I mean, that's all I know.
That's hands down.
Hands down. That's all I know, Shakespeare and Tennessee Williams. I don't read books. I mean, that should do it. Thank you for staying tuned on this podcast. And thank you, Mark, for being... such a good special guest, sharing your knowledge to us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And we'll see you next time on The Adventures, starring your very own Jellicomia.